Accession number 28639, Real Ace.
Touring party there, all Japanese. And I wasn't quite sure whether they were Japanese and Chinese, so up to that point, I was reasonably all right. I was a bit terrified of or scared of them, but I was still in command. But then one of them came over to me and said, "Do you mind if you take a photograph of us together?" And I said, "Where are you from?" And when he said Japan, I just melted. I said, "I'm sorry, I can't." And fortunately, my wife was there and she said, "Yes, you can. This is part of your treatment. You've got to do it, Jack. You've got to do it." And I was shaking like a leaf when I took that camera, but I managed to do it. But that was it. That was the worst time. That was for me, it was the worst of all. And I had already been, of course, up to Weatherhead by this time, and I was having treatment for it. But that was the one occasion that I met Japanese. It was the first time I met Japanese that I hated. But then when I went back to Japan, Keiko Holmes, you probably heard of her, Keiko Holmes, a Japanese lady, Keiko Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. Well, our history is very briefly. As a young Japanese girl student, she came to London to learn English, and also she wanted to become a teacher of English in Japan. And while she was in the University of London, she met her husband, another student, who turned out to be a doctor. Now, they had two children by him, and eventually he was killed in an air crash. And part of bereavement was for her to go home to her mother, who lived in Japan, lived in the southern part of Japan, where there was copper mines. And when she went home, she said to her mother one day during after the funeral of her father, she said, her father had died, by the way, naturally. She'd went home, really, to see her mother. And about her father-in-law dying just beforehand, hadn't melted part of any. She went home and saw her mother. And while she was there, she got talking about her father-in-law. And she said, he was a prisoner in Japan. She said, "Is it true what he's told me about what happened to these Japanese POWs?" And she said, "Oh yes," her mother said. She said, "I'll show you what happened to some of them." She got down to this copper mine just outside the village in Japan, and there was all these graves there, 600 of them, and she said, "All these bodies were put in one grave." She said, "They worked in this mine, which is now closed, but that mine was occupied by over 1,000 British soldiers who were taken prisoner. They worked in the copper mine from 6 o'clock in the morning from daylight till dusk, really." And
Jack Hewson, Reel 8. Sorry, Jack, go on. Yeah.
And they said all they got was a bowl of rice in the morning and a bowl of rice at night before they went to bed. Nothing. But they worked in these copper mines all day without any midday meal. And as they died, they brought them out and just dumped them in this communal grave. And she said, "We were so horrified at watching this that we determined one day, if we were still alive when the war ended, that we'd do something about it. Whether Japan won the war or not, we'd do something about it." So they did. And when the war ended, she apparently got the rest of the villagers, this was Keiko Holmes' mother, organised to get labour and dig up the graves. Unfortunately, most of them had their name tags still on them. And they managed to dig individual graves and put crosses up with the names on the crosses and put the tags in envelopes and sent all the tags with a letter to the head of the War Graves Commission, who in turn sent their letter to the Ministry of Defence. Ministry of Defence took it up, and they, of course, thanked her, and they sent people over to see her. Anyway, Keiko Holmes was so taken by this, it changed her whole life. She became a Christian. She was already interested in Christian religion, but she became a Christian then from being a Buddhist. And she was determined to fight our cause, and she's done that. She's still doing it today.
And it's through that that you went back?
She went back to England, and she went back to England and set up what they called AGAPI. It's in the, you'll find it under the telephone directory, AGAPI. It's got an office in London, And if you ring her telephone number, I can give it to you if you want it.
No, I'm just curious about your story. You went back.
I went back, but I didn't see her. Of course, I didn't meet her until about 2 or 3 years later. She phoned me.
But why did you go back, Jack?
Well, she phoned me first of all, and said, "You are Mr. Hewison." I said, "Yes, that's right." She said, "My name is Keiko Holmes." Well, the word Keiko meant Japanese, but Holmes meant English to me. I said, "Well, who are you?" She said, "Well, I was married to an Englishman, but I'm a Japanese." I said, "Oh, yeah, what do you want to know about me?" She said, "I don't want to know anything about you," she said, "at the moment." She said, "I just want to meet you," she said. She said, "Would you like to go back to Japan?" I said, "No way. No way do I want to go back." I said, "I want to forget." And I remember slammed the phone down to her. But she was determined. She came to one of our reunions in London, and she was very courageous because they ordered her out and she refused to go, and in the end they marched her out. But she came to other reunions. She was a determined girl, and eventually she was kept phoning me, and eventually I said, "Well, I'll go on one condition, you come and see me first of all." I said, "We'll put you up," and she came down to see me, and I've still got that little thing that I brought from Japan with me, which is a memento. I'll show you before you leave. It's in a glass case there. But she said, "We want to take you back because Japanese want to fight your cause. We want to get our government to accept what they did to you, because we know until they accept what they did to you, you people are still liars. And I know you're not liars because my mum has proved it. And I want the Japanese people to know what my mum has told me." And I was so taken by this, I agreed to go back to Japan with her. But right up until I left, because my wife had to come with me. She was my carer, really, still. Anyway, went up to Heathrow, and I was still undecided. And when I met Keiko Holmes, I said to her, "I'm still undecided." I go, "You'll be all right when you get on the plane." Well, as we were going down the gangway into the plane, with these plastic windows on the gangway thing, I could see the Japanese writing. Oh, that was enough for me. I didn't want to go. She didn't tell us I was going on a Japanese plane. So I tried to come back. My wife had gone in front of me in the crowd, and I tried to get her. And by the time I got up to her, we had reached the start of it, and this air hostess was handing me the boarding pass. So I was on the plane, whether I liked it or not. But I was glad I went, because it took us into first-class accommodation, club class, with one great big seat like this to sit on. I don't know if you've ever been in club class, but it's fantastic. All you know is like... And we were just treated like lords, milady lords, all the way out. Super meals, champagne, breakfast, all the way out there. And we flew over we flew over, by the way, what do they call it, the frozen part of Russia. What do they call it?
Siberia.
Yeah, now... We had a camera under the bell of the plane. We could see all this snow and ice. It was quite a scene. But eventually they flew over Osaka, and I pointed to my wife at the window. I said, "The docks, that's the docks where I stay." But it was all changed. I couldn't recognise it. And eventually we arrived Osaka.
It'll be Tokyo
No, it wasn't Tokyo, no. It was further down. It was... oh dear. Hirado. Place near Hirado. And we arrived in Japan, and we had to get out, of course. And we got out, and there was all these Japanese people waving Union Jacks and making such a fuss of us, down to children. And they took us into this hotel, and from then on it was marvellous all the way.
It was just you.
No, there was others that I went with. Keiko Holmes had taken others a party, took a party of us. We went round mainly churches, because by this time they'd built up quite a congregation throughout Japan of Christian churches. And of course the ambassador, he met us, the British ambassador there as well, he was there to meet us. And we finished up going round Nagasaki. I wanted to go to Hiroshima, where I'd been in. But that wasn't on the tour. But I saw Nagasaki, and I remember standing looking at Nagasaki, the pictures of it, and I started to cry because it reminded me of scenes in Hiroshima. And my wife wanted me to come away. She managed me to pull me away. And as she pulled me away, I came face to face with a Japanese lady in her kimono and everything, who'd been looking at the photograph next to me. And she turned away, and she was also crying. So we stood looking at each other, crying. And it was quite amazing, really. The scenes, anyway, in Japan. But that's how it was all the way through. We're treated so well with the ambassador, the British ambassador took us to dinner there in the ambassador's place. And we finished up in the government offices, Japanese government offices, off the foreign office side. And we saw foreign ministers, and they asked us to tell us a story. And I started on my part by telling them, I know you're not going to believe me, because it's your government I want to get to. You're just a servant of your government. And I know you'll be the rest of them. But I said, Keiko Holmes is with us, and all these people that she's been with will help us out. And I told them some of the stories I've told you. And they were aghast. They were just shocked. And they said, some of them were Christians, and the pep, because they could tell when they were praying to us, like praying for forgiveness. You could tell they were doing that. And that went all the way home, to the extent that when I eventually left Japan, my final speech with Keiko Holmes present to all the Japanese people that came to see us off in Tokyo, I said, I'm leaving an entirely different Japan to the one I left in 1945, and thank you for seeing the other side of Japan. And I left it like that. It's not the same people. But since then, I'm still in touch with people. By the way, my name is now being put on the Japanese memorial in the center of Hiroshima, because I'm one of the survivors. This all happened because the Japanese people have written to me as a result of my visits to Japan. One of them still writes to me. She's now a lecturer in Tokyo University, and she has just written to me and told me that she's putting my name in to be put on the list of survivors. As a special one, one of the only British survivors that went to Hiroshima the day after the bomb was dropped. And now she still writes to me. She's wanting more information because she's writing a book on the history, which she's going to put in the university library. She says, it's time our government accepted. And I said, I know that's all you want in life. I said, if it's the last thing I do in my life, I've kept telling her, that's all I'm fighting for now. And that's why I gave you this interview, really, is because I want the Japanese people to accept the awful periods that all my comrades went through. It was quite horrific.
Well, thanks, Jack. I think that's really, Thank you
for having me. If it's helped, I'm only too pleased to do it.
Thank you so much. That's really been great.